Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our program off and running. Very busy Tuesday. We're going to fill all four segments. We're going to lead off with Vanessa Bechdel, who is running against Steve Christie in the supervisorial race. Tell you about that in a second. But today is September the 10th, 2024. We'll begin our 15th year with our radio show in January. We're coming from 1030 KVOI The Voice, part of the Bustos Media Company. We've got five radio stations now under one roof here. We're in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios, when we do our telephone interviews, 790-2040, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. Vanessa Bechdel, Democrat, running against Republican, the lone Republican on the Pima County Board of Supervisors in District 4. Supervisor Christie has now been on the board for 2 4-year terms, so he's standing for a third term. But we welcome now Vanessa Bechdel to the program. And it's a big district, isn't it, Vanessa?
It is a very large district, the entire east side of Pima County, and it wraps down to Green Valley as well.
So we've Green Valley, parts of Vail, actually all of Vail, then parts of Tucson's east side up to the Mount Lemmon area. So it is a large district. It's District 4. The registration, there's 36% Republican, 31% Democrats, and 33 other. So first of all, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about why you decided to take this step.
Well, my professional experience the past 20 years is in public service, working in the nonprofit sector to make our community better. So when I saw the need to step up and continue to make our community better, it was kind of a no-brainer. It was a difficult decision in that this is, you know, running for office really does turn your life upside down.
Sure.
But I was really disappointed in the lack of leadership that we have. There are a lot of challenges that we're facing in Pima County that are not getting the support from the incumbent in terms of creating solutions. And so with my experience in land use planning and economic growth in the tourism industry, I knew those were skill sets that I could bring to continue to make Pima County a better place for all of us.
And you are the vice president at Visit Tucson. And by the way, as we were talking before the show, tourism's doing real well right now, right?
Tourism is. We just got
$3 billion industry.
Just shy of $3 billion invested in Pima County alone last fiscal year. Yeah, it's one of the primary economic drivers for Pima County.
So what's at the top of your agenda list? What needs to change if you become the supervisor in District 4?
Well, I would generalize it as two things. One, regarding issues. We, you know, as I mentioned, we have a lot of key issues that residents and the business community are asking Pima County to address, mm-hmm. and we're just getting no votes from the incumbent. So I want to work collaboratively with my colleagues on the board, with county staff, to, you know, address crime and homelessness and substance abuse, to look at our water resources and incorporate smart planning with all the growth that's taking place on the east side. And then generally in terms of you know, work ethic, being engaged with residents, showing up, listening to the concerns of residents. That's another area that I was talking with a resident in Vail last night, and he said, we feel underrepresented and we feel like nobody has our back. And so I want to make sure that I'm listening to the concerns of residents and working collaboratively with colleagues on the Board of Supervisors to create real solutions to those problems.
We were among the first on this show to be talking about the library closures, and now there's some, well, maybe they're going to put that on hold. By the way, I think we've got Amber Mathewson, the head of the library, for our Monday one-on-one coming up this upcoming Monday. Any thoughts about closures, especially since your district, I think, has the newest library to the system in Vail. So what are your thoughts on the possible closures?
Well, I don't believe any of the three proposed closures are in District 4. What I've read about the proposal is that it has to do with actual foot traffic. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, I don't think there's a discussion about defunding libraries, about closing libraries. Libraries have been a part of our community for forever, and I would fully support continuing to keep our libraries open. They're such an important resource for families with young kids. Reading is important for development for children, but also for adults. They're also places where we connect. A few weeks ago, Supervisor Christie and I had a debate at a library, so they're gathering places for the community. They are cooling centers for people who need to just take a step out of the heat. So I think looking at, are there areas where we can consolidate, is a discussion worth having. But generally, overall, I think everybody's on board with continuing to fund and keep libraries open as an important resource for our community.
Supervisor Christie has been so vocal on this program about support for asylum seekers. What's your thoughts?
Well, ignoring the problem doesn't make it go away. So,
and when I say vocal, in a negative way, for support for asylum seekers.
Yes, he's consistently voted against the federal funding to support the transportation of legal asylum seekers. And I think that's the important part. We're talking about legal asylum seekers, getting them from Tucson to their final destination. By not accepting those funds isn't doing anything to address the problem. So I fully support continuing to accept those funds, short of another organization or agency stepping up to facilitate that transportation.
What other areas would you be supportive of that right now Supervisor Christie is a no vote?
Early childhood education. So the Pima Early Education Program, those are scholarships. Last year alone, nearly 2,000 families were supported with scholarships to help get children into high-quality early childhood education. Those are important for working families. Affordability right now across the board is an issue for every family in Pima County, across the country, really. And that's one way that we can help is to provide that high-quality early childhood education so working families can work. But it's also a proven strategy in the long run, providing that type of education early on at reducing crime, reducing homelessness, those sort of things that are currently problems in our community as well. So I would support the ongoing funding of the PEEPS program. And I think the one other issue that we have inconsistent support from the incumbent is acknowledging that our elections are fair and are safe. I think refusing to certify election results is irresponsible and dangerous. And unfortunately, the incumbent has refused to certify elections twice now. And so I would, when all evidence demonstrates that the canvass was carried out legally and the way that it should be, there's no reason to not certify an election.
How about county health? Supervisor Christie was very worried about this new health ordinance regarding employers telling their employees or giving their employees an outline of what measures would be taken to keep them safe in the heat.
I also think that's irresponsible to not protect Pima County employees. So the heat ordinance is for Pima County employees and new contract employees. It allows breaks in the shade, water. It allows employees to say, I'm overheating, I need to take a break without risk of getting fired or demoted. I don't think anybody wants to see any more heat-related illness or death in Pima County. And so this is one way that we can protect our own Pima County workers and contract workers. It is not across the board to private companies.
Vanessa Bechdel is with us. Vanessa, I've got about 2 minutes left here. I want to give you a shot to talk about, is there anything else that you think that the voters should know about you?
Yeah, I think, as I mentioned at the beginning, I have 20 years of professional experience in public service, and I think it's really prepared me to be a strong leader for all of Pima County. From my early work doing land use planning right out of grad school when I earned a master's degree in planning, to running an organization focused on historic and cultural preservation, to my current role as a vice president at Visit Tucson, supporting hundreds of our local businesses with training and marketing support. As we talked about, tourism is one of the primary economic drivers for Pima County, and so I have real hands-on experience with economic development that will also be an asset as a county supervisor.
Where can people find out more about your run for supervisor?
Our website is vanessabechtal.com. And we're always looking for volunteers, for contributions, but also just to learn more about what voters are what their concerns are right now in Pima County.
Early voting begins soon.
Ballots are mailed October 9th,
wow.
which is just shy of a month now.
Yeah, there you go. Vanessa Bechtal, thank you very much. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we'll take a break right here. Shelley Fishman, our financial contributor, is next. And I'm sure in the debates tonight, the issue about tariffs will be coming up. Shelley wants to talk about that. I'll join him in that conversation right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
On average, the Regional Transportation Authority annually contributes over $100 million to regional transportation improvements to supplement limited federal and state funds. This critical funding source provides funding for nearly two-thirds of our region's needed transportation improvements through its 2006 voter-approved half-cent sales tax. To receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit qlmc.com to view our open trials and express interest.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Shelly Fishman is a financial advisor and business consultant in Tucson, Arizona. Contact Shelly via buckmastershow.com or directly via email at saf824@earthlink.net.
They don't say it in the disclaimer, but I'll say it. He's a really nice guy. Hello, Shelly. How are
you,
sir?
Good morning. Well, good afternoon.
Yeah,
Bill.
Good afternoon. We are off and running, and out of anticipation tonight about the big debate.
There's something going on tonight?
Yeah, the big debate gets underway, and sure enough, tariffs are going to come up. But before we talk about tariffs, market had a little bit of recovery from
yesterday.
Yeah.
And except for the Dow, markets are doing okay today. Last week was just rotten.
Wow.
A horrible week. A
lot
September
of is. We keep hearing September is traditionally bad for the market, so I don't know.
September is traditionally bad. I mean, it's not as bad as October, but September tends to be the time when the large funds start making adjustments for the end of the year.
Okay.
As a result, there's a lot of volatility. Investors, especially the professional investors, are very tuned in to the third and fourth quarter anticipations and for profitability in the companies that they face. So you do tend to get a lot of volatility in September and October. The two big crashes in history were in October, of course. But I think we got some numbers last week on unemployment. They were a little disappointing. The unemployment rate actually came down by a tenth of a percent, but the number of new jobs was down probably 30,000 from what was expected, and the prior 2 months were adjusted down, and so people started using the R word. Are we going to have a recession?
Recession always comes up, doesn't
always
it?
Always comes up.
You know, Powell is talking about a bigger rate cut than maybe some of the governors on the board would like to go.
That's
so,
exactly right. I think he wants
to
go
my
full
fingers crossed. Yeah, I want to go to a half point.
Don't think they will, but
okay, you're still real cautious about that one.
Yeah, there's about a 30% chance of a 50.
Okay.
Basis point adjustment down and a 70% chance.
All right.
That's what the odds makers are giving at. But the market's already priced in a quarter of a point. I don't think that'll affect things too much.
A half might, though.
A half might.
Yeah.
And what he says on Wednesday next about where the Fed is going to be going for the rest of the year will be very important, I think.
One thing that'll be very important tonight is, of course, the debate. Maybe the last chance, the only chance we see the two candidates on stage together. I would not be surprised if that's, this is going to be it. Tariffs are going to come up.
Tariffs will come up. It's the only real specific part of the Trump economic plan that he's been talking about regularly.
He likes them.
He likes them. He uses them or thinks that he can use them as a bargaining chip in his negotiations with other countries. Most economists that I know and that I read think it's about the worst idea they've ever heard.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
What we should talk a little bit about what a tariff is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mr. Trump will tell you that a tariff is something that is paid for by the country or
the originating country.
That's not right. The tariff is charged on the way in by the purchasing company in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It adds directly to their cost for that product.
Say Walmart, products coming in, Walmart has to pay the difference, the tariff.
They have to pay that tariff to the Treasury.
And then
they turn
it
around.
Is passed on
of
to
course.
The consumer.
Exactly. Okay. And it's quick. I mean, you don't have to wait a long time. The Treasury wants their money right away, and so does Walmart. Now, sometimes I have a tendency to want to blame companies for, you know, using bad economic data to their own advantage. But this case, we don't have any evidence that companies that are importing stuff are transferring those costs above the actual costs that they have. But nevertheless, you know, Trump is talking about 10 and 20% tariffs. Now, a 20% tariff would mean a 20% increase in the price of that good. And
which would be horrible.
Well, the
20%.
The average family, and these are mostly low-earning families because this tends to be regressive. If you spend a lot of money on goods, if you spend all your money on goods, then these tariffs really do get you, would spend about $4,500 a year because of these tariffs. Now, what Trump will say is, but that money goes into the Treasury and we can use that money to lower the deficit or, you know, various other things that they would like to do with that revenue. That's additional tax revenue. Well, it didn't quite work out that way. In the first Trump term, he started putting tariffs on lots of things, a lot of which were stuff that we don't make here, and so we needed to import. And so that was just kind of spitefulness. But in stuff that we do make here, what happened was that the countries that we imposed tariffs on turned right around and imposed tariffs on us.
Mm-hmm.
So what we had to do, because it was about to put Midwestern farmers out of business, was the money that came into the Treasury for those tariffs was then instantly granted to Midwestern farmers.
In the form of subsidies. Okay.
So you know, the other problem is, and not to get too deep into the weeds here, but what happens is that the problem of tariffs and what it does to interest rates begins to cycle down. And so what happens is people slow down their consumption because the price goes up. When the price goes up, that inflation begins to cause layoffs. You begin to see the traditional economic, macroeconomic analysis used that says once you start that, you're going to be in a recession, you're going to increase unemployment, and this is the thing that's counterintuitive, but I'll say it anyway. What happens is higher interest rates, because the Fed will then step in, and in order to reduce the inflation, they'll raise interest rates. That makes the dollar stronger against other currencies. Won't get into why, but that's what happens. As soon as that happens, our ability to sell stuff overseas goes down.
Yeah.
Because the dollar is more expensive.
Yeah.
And so that spiral downward is hard to stop. Most economists, in fact, coincidentally, I mean, we talked about doing this thing on tariffs yesterday, but this morning in the Times, Anna Swanson does a whole article on tariffs as Trump's solution to almost any problem. And she cites one economist after the other, saying, not only isn't this a good idea, but it's the worst idea you can imagine. So it's very much in keeping with Trump's personality, which is he wants control. By the way, he does not need Congress to do this.
Oh, really?
He can simply do it with an executive order, as he did with the China tariffs and the Canada tariffs, the Mexico tariffs. And it just is, you know, I'm stuttering over myself because I can't begin to tell you what an awful idea it is. What's more, he's using it in ways that even if the tariffs work well, wouldn't work. And he used it in his explanation of how child care supported by tariffs. You know, there is no linkage. So I'm sure we'll hear about this tonight because that's what he's been really beating the drum on in terms of his economic program.
Mm-hmm. So how do you talk about inflation, lowering inflation, then talk about tariffs? I mean,
because he doesn't make the connection in his mind. You know, he views the world somehow as subject to his wish list.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's going to be hard for Harris, I think, to talk about some of the programs that she's introducing,
mm-hmm.
or she wants to introduce. Most of them cannot be done by executive order. She would need Congress to go along with some of the stuff. But what she wants to do is like bring back the child tax credit and so mm-hmm. some other things that would be good for families.
Mm-hmm.
The problem of inflation, we've talked about this before quickly. You know, our economy right now is the envy of the world.
Yeah.
The economy in a macro sense is good, but, you know, a lot of people don't sense that it's working well for them. And that's the challenge that I think Kamala Harris will have tonight is trying to communicate with people who go to the grocery store and they see higher prices, not as high as, you know, we're hearing in some of the press, but they are higher. They've been coming down. We're going to get another report this week. My expectation is that, you know, that the inflation rate will come in below 2.5% for the year. So that's all very good, but it's not disinflation. We're not seeing a large reduction in the increases that happened, you know, 2 years ago. And that's a problem, and it's hard to articulate when people see that in the grocery store. There are other things, bird flu and stuff that have just raised the price of like eggs and
poultry,
chicken,
yeah.
poultry. But yeah, so it's going to be an important debate, an important discussion, you know, and we'll learn something from it,
I'm sure. I look forward to it, as does my friend Shelley Fishman. All right, Shel, we'll see you in about a week. Thank you so much.
Okay, Bill. Have a great debate night.
All right.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We do our live line. That's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our focus now is on the most important resource, in my humble opinion, and that is water. It's our Arizona Water Quarterly, presented by the Central Arizona Project, Your Water, Your Future. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show for her quarterly visit, Karen Caesar is here, the Pima County Representative on the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board. Hey, Karen.
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Doing well. You've had a busy summer, huh?
It's been a good one, yes.
Yeah, lots going on the waterfront.
Oh, yes, always. One of the things I think I've mentioned before is one of my roles on the CAP board is I serve as chair of the Central Arizona Groundwater Replenishment and Underground Storage Committee. It's a mouthful.
Yeah.
But part of what we have done is CAGRD is required to put forward a 10-year plan of operation for how we're going to go forward. And this plan's got to be approved by Department of Water Resources. So we've been working on this plan to basically look at our next decade and give even a preview of the next 100 years of our water supply.
Wow, that's a big task considering the volatility of our groundwater situation.
Oh, yeah. It's been one of the most uncertain environments in which to try to put a plan together. And, you know, we've been working on it for the past 2 years, but it's out for review now, and we're very proud of it. And it outlines our proposed replenishment activities for the next 100 years based on CAGRD's membership's activity through the year 2034, so 10 years from now.
And that meeting's coming up, right, to talk about this?
Yes. The CAGRD committee will be meeting next Thursday, September 19th at 12:30 p.m., and we're going to be talking about that and hopefully taking action to recommend the full board approve the plan and then get this to the Department of Water Resources, which we have to get it to DWR by the end of the year.
Why don't we talk about some of the highlights of the plan, Karen?
Well, I would love to. What this plan shows and talks about is, number one, is that CAGRD has met and we continue to meet our replenishment requirements. That's essential for growth and development and prosperity in Arizona. It also recognizes that we no longer rely on CAP excess water. That's gone away with our shortages, but we still have sufficient supplies to meet our projected 20-year obligation. And we look ahead and we look out there and we want to identify potentially available supplies that we could use to meet our needs over the next 100 years.
And that's very challenging in a very dynamic water environment.
Absolutely. This year, there were many legislative initiatives around groundwater and around assured water supply rules, not to mention that we're in the middle of the reconsultation on the Colorado River that's coming up, and trying to reflect all these moving parts in a plan while meeting our statutory obligation has been a big challenge. But I think that the CAGRD staff has you know, been equal to the task and has met that and has put forward a very solid plan.
And I know many of our listeners want to hear the latest on the Colorado River, and I understand we know the status at least for 2025, Karen.
Yes. In August, the 24-month study was released, and that's the current benchmark when they determine the, you know, what's going to happen the next year. So they have declared that we will remain in a Tier 1 shortage for 2025, same as this year. So on that end, not much will change. That's good. But, you know, it's also important to note that we did have kind of a you know, below average runoff year last year from Lake Powell into Lake Mead, but we still managed to avoid deeper reductions because water users in the lower basin, including our own city of Tucson and other water users here in southern Arizona and throughout our service area, agreed to use less water, leave more water in the lake. So we're using less water by about a third, and we're really doing our part.
Well, that's good news. It puts us in a pretty good position, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we've stabilized Lake Mead. I mean, a couple years ago, we were talking a lot about Lake Mead potentially crashing. There was some very dire projections on what could happen to Lake Mead. Lake Mead is stabilized for now. And that really gives us time to, you know, look at our guidelines that we're renegotiating for the Colorado River operations without having to deal with a crisis right in the moment, shall we say.
I'm sure we'll hear more about some of those plans going forward with our segments here.
Absolutely.
But there's a lot going on with the board.
Yeah, the board's been busy. And one of the things that we did recently, many of us, about nine of the board members, including myself, got an opportunity to tour a little bit of Colorado. We visited our colleagues in Denver Water and Northern Water. And there are, you know, upper basin, you know,
upper basins,
neighbors,
yeah,
and it's really important for us to go and see their systems and learn firsthand how they work, because one of the keys to understanding and to all coming together is, you know, we're all people at the end of the day, and the more we know each other and the more we understand each other's challenges and systems, the better position we are in to help, you know, come to some really good collaborative solutions.
Good educational trip. And how is it going with those? I think you're talking about a proposed water education center.
Yeah, that's and it's just a great, education is so important around water continually. And so really excited to talk about this. We are in the middle of designing a water education center that's going to tell the CAP story and the Arizona water story. We're at the 30% design milestone now. So we've captured the wants, needs, desires, all the wish list of you know, everybody wants. I said we're putting 10 pounds of sugar in the 5-pound bag in this building.
You've got an architect?
Yeah, we have Jones Studio out of Scottsdale and Aldrich Perry is just doing our exhibits and experience, and we're all working together and hope to, ideally, if everything goes well, we'll be, authorizing the construction contract sometime early next year and maybe having a groundbreaking by the end of next year.
The renderings look super.
It is a beautiful building. We want to build a building for the ages, something that will tell the story and make it something attractive that people will want to come to. Even I really hope people and school groups from Tucson, we want to make it worth the while to make the trip up to Phoenix. It will be at our headquarters in North Phoenix. So we've got some really exciting ideas, and I can't wait to see them actually come to fruition.
You're still going forward with that CAP University program, that element?
Yes, again, and continuing on the theme of education and public education, CAP University is a fabulous opportunity for all of the public, anybody. We have people from around the country and even internationally that do this. It's a virtual session. We're going to hold the next one October 30th, and we're going to be talking about physical asset reliability, which is basically, you know, it's really important that we have a reliable system, and it's a complicated system. So this is going to be a deep dive. It's going to be pretty technical, but like I said, calling all you infrastructure junkies and, and how do you maintain a 336-mile, 13-pumping plant and other components? How do you keep that all working reliably? Because, you know, failure is really not an option. We want to always be delivering reliable water to our customers.
It's a 24/7 operation, to say the least. I mean, it's a huge operation.
It is, and so much of our canal is in very remote parts of Arizona.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can just, you know, run over and, you know, and fix things easily. So, so please, you can centralarizonaproject.com. Go to our website for your listeners if you're interested in the CAP University. It's about a 2-hour presentation. It's very fast paced, and you'll walk away with a much deeper understanding of this aspect of our whole operation.
And before we wrap it up, a couple of other items you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yes. One thing is we are heading into our fall outage season, which applies to us here in Arizona, southern Arizona. But, you know, no one should notice. That's the goal. We plan ahead. We work with our customers down here. And we take this opportunity, again, to do a lot of maintenance.
And, yeah, when people hear outage, they get nervous.
Sure. Right. Yeah. Well, we have to, you know, we do shut the water off, but there's things that we have to go in and maintain and, you know, do like preventative maintenance on especially. And so, you know, again, attend the CAPU and you'll learn a lot more about it, but that's a big deal down here.
And that takes a ton of planning, right?
Oh, it is the choreography that is needed to make sure
that
for the outage to in a very short amount of time. You know, you think about you're mobilizing people, vendors, contractors, materials, outages, and they all have to be. I was trying to think a water ballet mm-hmm. where you know all coming together. So, you know, at the end of the planned outage, we're ready to you know turn that spigot back on and keep that water flowing.
Are you still doing the Know Your Water news site?
Absolutely. And that's another great place your listeners can go. We have things we call them explainers or just like, again, a little bit more information, but still bite-sized on a lot of different topics. For example, right now we have a new one up there that talks about the 1944 U.S.-Mexico Water Treaty. So we go from, you know,
heard of that.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's a chance to learn about that. Yeah. This discusses how, you know, the Colorado River does go into Mexico. So Mexico is one of the, you know, the recipients of Colorado River water. And it's this treaty that talks about how we provide them water and what they're doing. And then subsequent minutes, and that's what they call kind of addendums or implementation of the treaty. All that's explained in the Know Your Water news right now.
A lot of history there. And you've got your board meeting. Tucson will be the site this time around. Huh?
Yes. Once a year, we take the show on the road to Pima County in the fall. Spring, we are in Pinal County. So this is our annual visit to Pima County. We are meeting Thursday, October 10th at the Desert Diamond Casino. Like all our meetings, they are live. They're open to the public. And if anybody wants to, you know, see us actually do our business, I invite you to come down and even just for a bit, say hello. We appreciate knowing that. I will note for your listeners, this is not our traditional first Thursday. We have rescheduled it due to Rosh Hashanah. So so this will be October 10th at Desert Diamond Casino. And do invite all your listeners, if they are so inclined, to come down and say hello to us.
And again, how many of these meetings do you do yearly, Karen?
Well, we meet monthly except for July. So
okay.
That's 11 board meetings a year. And then we also have 11 committee meetings, like the CAGRD meets on the typically the third Thursday of the month. And all our meetings are live. They're live streamed. You can find them on our website. And you know, as an elected board of directors, we welcome and invite the public to, you know, to come see us and to understand what we're doing, because we do appreciate the, you know, the support. And like you said at the beginning of the show, I agree with you. And this is our most important resource, and we have to continually work to protect it and to make sure that everybody is aware of where their water comes from.
All right. You and the team doing a great job. Thank you, Karen Caesar. Always a pleasure. And again, how about the website before we say goodbye?
That is centralarizonaproject.com. And easy to find.
All right. Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, Bill.
All right.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
2006, Pima County voters approved the Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year regional transportation plan, half-cent sales tax. They're both effective through June 30th, 2026. The region to receive continued funding for another 20 years. RTA is developing a new plan and tax extension for voter consideration. Public input will be key. Receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development. Visit rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com in Zocalo Village.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. A delightful part of the Land of Enchantment, the southwest corner of the Land of Enchantment. Take a 3-hour drive approximately from the Tucson area up to about a mile high elevation, 5,000 to 7,000 feet. And I guarantee you, it is a delightful time of year over in Silver City. Highs usually in the 70s, overnight lows now even in the lower 50s. So you can't beat that. Start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org for more information. And start your planning now for the Hunger Walk 2024 to benefit the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, and it is coming up this Saturday. Joining us on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Norma Cable is with us. Norma, an outstanding representative and spokesperson for the Community Food Bank. Norma, how are you?
Well, thank you for that introduction. I'm doing just fine, Bill. How are you? It's good to talk to you.
Doing pretty darn well. How are we doing now getting ready for this very big event?
Yes, we are working hard and trying to get everything ready, and we will be ready. We do want to encourage people to come on down to Sam Lena Park in the Keno Sports Complex for Hunger Walk in Tucson, and then in Green Valley at the historic Canoa Ranch. And this is really a great way to raise awareness about hunger, to say that you're ready to do something about it, and to make it be one of the actions during Hunger Action Month, which is September. So we are ready. We will be ready. And registration opens at 7 a.m. Saturday morning. We're thrilled to hear that last I looked at the temperature is only going to be about 94 on Saturday.
Very nice.
So love
very nice.
That news.
We are seeing a lot of demand as evidenced by what's going on Thursdays, correct?
Absolutely. You know, we looked at our numbers after we closed out our fiscal year at the end of June, and demand was up 22% overall. And that's throughout, you know, when you consider all five counties where we distribute food, which is Graham, Greenlee, Cochise, Santa Cruz, and of course Pima. And so across the board, we're seeing some increased need. And you're absolutely right. On Thursdays, we opened up to have an extended day at 3003 South Country Club, where our Tucson warehouse is located and our food pantry in Tucson. And we are open then from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And we continue to see the numbers increase there. We are seeing about as many people as what used to be considered our busiest day of the year, which was 1,000 families in a day. And now we reached that mark, you know, and it's just not unusual anymore. It's kind of just a sign of the times. We really have seen that demand increase. We're not really seeing it slow. And that's why, you know, Hunger Walk and other activities for the Community Food Bank are so important to raise awareness, to raise support. I mean, everything raised during Hunger Walk will go towards general support of the Community Food Bank, keep our trucks on the road, keep our doors open, keep the food coming in. So we really appreciate people stepping forward to be a part of it.
It is a big operation, and thank goodness it is, because last year alone, Norma, as you're very well aware, we're pushing now toward 500,000 emergency food boxes distributed throughout this region. The need here is tremendous.
Right. And, you know, we are talking about food boxes where every one of them has been packed by a volunteer here in Tucson at the warehouse. So not only are we seeing the food go out, but every box represents someone's time, willingness to stand at the assembly line in our warehouse, willingness to give their time and make this happen. So yes, absolutely. We were shocked to see that number. And it is right there, right around 500,000 boxes in a year. So just like I said, we have seen that increased demand. And those are just the non-perishable items that people are receiving. We are able to get donated food to go along with that, like bread, produce. We had watermelons the other day and nectarines and tomatoes that are given out alongside that box. So we're happy to do that and happy to be here when people need it because we know that, you know, sometimes it just doesn't take that much to send someone into this position of not knowing where their next meal comes from. And that's exactly why we are here.
And, of course, donations raised through Hunger Walk, which, Hunger Walk 2024. Hunger Walk is your pretty much your signature event because the money coming in and the donations will go toward the holiday season, which is always very busy.
Right. Absolutely. Thanksgiving time is our busiest time of the year, so we're preparing for that already. But, you know, we have seen just that increase in demand all through the year. And another, you know, real challenge for us is just keeping volunteers during the summer when a lot of people like to get out of Southern Arizona.
Sure.
And I don't blame them at all. So we've really just kind of struggled through the summer trying to get enough volunteers in. We're always asking for donations, yes, and for volunteers, but it's because of that demand that we are in this position now of really seeing, oh, okay, we don't see it going down anytime soon. It may even go up. We don't know. You know, the housing crisis is playing a big role in it, as are the rising costs of food and gas, which, you know, went up and don't seem to come down. So as we deal with all that, we are just glad for the support that the community gives us.
All right, let's carve out this final minute with Norma Cable talking about the nuts and bolts of this Saturday.
Absolutely. So if you have not registered yet, please come and join us on Saturday morning. Like I said, we will be ready to open the gates at 7. We will walk promptly at 8 a.m. You can sign up at communityfoodbank.org. You'll see a little box come up immediately when you go to our website. You just click on it, and it's very easy to sign up. If you can't make it on Saturday morning, we do have the option to walk virtually. So you pick the time and the place when you would like to walk, and you can do that your way. So all those options are open. We welcome strollers and wheelchairs to San Lena Park and to historic Canoa Ranch. Everyone is welcome. We just appreciate the support.
And again, the cost, Norma?
Sure. It's $25 for adults. It is, I believe, $10. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me here for those ages 6 to 10, and then under 6 are completely free.
All right, it's so important. Hunger Walk 2024 coming up this Saturday. Going to be delightful weather considering we're having such unseasonably hot weather so late in the season, but maybe mid-90s. And in the morning, probably upper 80s, so it should be delightful. Norma, I want to wish you well, and good luck to everybody on Saturday.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Bill, and thank you for giving us some time to talk about it today.
Thanks a lot. Norma Cable from the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Kathleen Wynn and her new program at 1 o'clock is coming up after the CBS Network news, so that Kathleen will be in this chair in about 6 minutes. But in the meantime, it's Bill Buckmaster and John. We're wishing everybody well.